This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Brains vs. Brawn. I'm your host, Shannon Gus, here for the actual penultimate podcast, recap podcast of the season. We are in the third last and second last episode, and then the finale is on Sunday, which means we get another chance to recap and break down two incredible votes. These two episodes were my favorite week of the season. I just loved it so, so much. They say that Flick is a big wave surfer. We are the true big wave surfers this week, riding the huge wave that was week 8 of Australian Survivor. And I'm actually so glad that they gave us a penultimate week, a sneaky extra week of the season, because it means that we do get to spend time with these votes and chat to someone I always love talking to. She is the poker queen from the original Champions Tribe. Please welcome my guest, the great Jackie Glazier. Jackie, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Shannon. I totally agree. It's been my favorite week this season as well. So I'm so happy that you asked me to be on for this podcast today.
Yeah, what an exciting couple of votes. I mean, George was moved at the final five. You're like, how can that be topped? And then a 2-on-1 at the final four. It was a gift. It was a treat. It was amazing. Like, what have you thought of the season overall, as you're saying, culminating in this incredible week? But, you know, it's been polarizing up till now, but I feel like it's finishing strong.
I mean, definitely. And I think, too, we're both saying that this is our absolute favourite week of the season, but yet there were no twists this week. So it comes down to it. The players and the casting is what actually makes Survivor. It's not about so much the twists. Obviously, we already have idols, which are part of the game, but I think the unnecessary twists have made this season so polarising. But it's so great to see that this week, no twist, but yet the best week yet. So I suppose I'll leave it there. I think producers just need to leave their faith in the cast and hope that they're going to bring a great series without them kind of, you know, adding their little things in there.
Well, the end game of Australian Survivor is where International Survivor at large really shines. When you talk about how the US, you can be at a final six and have a finale. Like, all of these votes could be crammed into one super long episode, which would be a shame. And even so, No pure rounds. Fire at final four, so you can't get something cool like a 2-1-1, of which we've had 3 in Australian Survivor, 0 in US Survivor. We may never, ever get one in US Survivor. It would have to be in the pre-merge because the final four is now Fire. And it's so intricate and strategic because it's going all the way to a final two. Because at the final four, you're not just thinking about who you're sitting next to. You're thinking about how will you get to the final two, which I think largely informed this vote. So I don't know if they wanted to do a final three and Chelsea's Medivac screwed that up. But I think thank God for the final two. Thank God we get this type of pure strategy in two episodes where there's only one idol, as you said, no twist, and just pure numbers where every vote is so important, but actually so complex even in these small numbers. And this is where AU really, really shines.
Of course, and I think the end game is where we want to see this, you know, and I think that I totally agree with you. Australian Survivor has this, like, has it down pat that we're actually seeing strategy right through to the end compared to, say, US Survivor.
Like, every time I think Every time there's a terrible twist and I'm like, why are we doing this? Why are we watching this? I think about the fact that there have been 3 2-1-1s in 6 seasons of the show. That is a phenomenal thing. I mean, in your season 2018, the 2-1-1 was like, you know, it wasn't a true 2-1-1 as we've spoken about because of what Shawnee, you know, she could manage with fire. But Luke's 2-1-1 was pure and perfect. And this was, I think, the first pure 2-1-1 we've ever seen at a Final Four, because Luke's was at the Final Five and he sent Baden out of Tribal Council.
Yeah.
And in Survivor New Zealand, there was a quit involved. So, yeah, this is a Final Four 2-1-1. It was incredible to watch. This is truly the season of plurality votes, so I do love it. That's why I have to. I love plurality votes, and this season, I think, is dedicated to them. I had such a fun time with it. And for me, the fact that it could get George and Haley in probably to a finale. When I came in last week, I said one of them's gone at 5. They're breaking at 5, and then the rest are going to take someone like Kara and Wei, who we've lost, to a final 3. The fact that these two people who've owned the season made such incredible moves this week to get themselves to the finale, I feel like this is the ending that we deserve.
Oh, 100%. I'm so grateful. Like, so grateful. It's been the redeeming factor of the whole season now, these last two episodes, and I'm with you 100%. I can't think of a better 3 to kind of fight it out as well. I'm super excited to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, where do you sit on the 3? Because I feel like George and Haley, everyone, people have their feelings about George, but I feel like everyone who watched the season would have to agree, like, it is their season, they are the king and queen, them being here, especially off the back of those moves, is ideal and fitting. And then, like, Flick fits into that, and I think that to me, really narratively is perfect too, but I feel like some people have more complicated feelings around it. Like, where do you sit with the makeup of that 3?
I mean, I personally feel like George has played the better strategic game from the start. He was kind of on the bottom straight after the very first episode. He's been fighting his way. His gut instincts and where he's been at Tribal, which I think is a really big factor. Like, you know where the game's heading at Tribal. You know where you should be putting your vote. Haley's done the same on maybe a lesser level at Tribal, but then I feel like she's managed her tribe mates a little bit better than George has, so I got to give her points there. But Flick, I feel like her social game has been so strong, and we can't discount that. But saying that, I don't. Is there an actual member of the jury that she's actually sent there?
No.
Like, I don't think any of her votes have actually gone anywhere or produced anything. It's literally like she's kind of her casting of her votes haven't done anything. And even the last 2 weeks, she's had an idol and she's had an immunity necklace, and still her vote hasn't sent anyone to the jury. Like, you've had those two big power advantages in the last 2 weeks, but you haven't been able to actually get the person that you want to the jury. It's kind of like I understand she's got a really strong social game, but that's such a big factor that you can't actually be making votes that are sending people home, and you don't really even know where Tribal's going each week.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Flick's game. It is, at this point, like an unprecedented level of incorrect voting. She has voted out Janelle, Gavin, Simon, and Haley to Redemption Rock. I'm pretty sure that's it. She didn't actually vote out Benny. And since the merge, it has gone very, very wrong. We talked about it last week, and it continued this week, despite the fact that she was protected through both votes. Like, to not have power while immune at the Final Four is historic. To actively incorrectly vote at the Final Four, I'm pretty sure she's the third person to ever do that. Tess in Survivor New Zealand, your friend Brian Lake in Champions versus Contenders, and now her, because everyone else who's been immune at the Final Four either vote someone to fire at the very least, or is just part of a 3-1, and Luke was immune when he did the 2-1-1. So they have all been immune and voted incorrectly, just those three people ever. And it does come across as quite stark when you can be so protected but so incorrect. But I still see, but we'll talk a lot about Flick today, I still see extreme value in her game to maybe opposite values than we as podcast listeners have, but I see her as like the extreme opposite to George. She's someone who hasn't voted people out, but who does have the story, the social game, the physical game that people will really, really respect. And it isn't its extreme, because that story is unlike anything we've ever seen. Some of those relationships and those jury values are more than we've ever seen. It's an extreme thing, and it's an extreme positive, but then the extreme negative of her voting record. George, on the other side of that, his voting record since the merge is stunning to witness, like in such a chaotic merge that he's voted every person out, with two of them being mole votes, but he's sent every single person home except Baden, where he didn't have a vote, after such a weak start to the game where I was really criticizing his strategy.
Yeah.
Since the swap, he got some legs under him, he was like building to a momentum, but then the merge hit, and my gosh, for him to be so in control through so much chaos is really stunning for me to witness. But doesn't have the physical game, is accused of sitting down in challenges, possibly doesn't have the relationships. They're two opposite extremes, and I wonder if Haley fits in the middle of that with the brawn values, with brain values. And for me, it's kind of interesting that George stayed on brains through the swap. He was brains, brains, merge, fire. Flick did the opposite, brawn, brawn, fire. And Haley, not that it really matters, but it's just a cute little thing for me. She actually did swap from brains to brawn to fire. Is she the perfect merging of those two games, where her strategy has been, I think, excellent? I think on par with George, if not even slightly more impressive. If you look at the totality of their game, yeah, she got voted out, but George had a much weaker start. And then she's had the physical game as well, and relationships, maybe not to the level of Flick, but definitely really impressive, and possibly she's an amalgamation of those values.
Yeah, I think she is. And the thing is, too, as big as Flick's mistakes have been in her voting, they kind of have played to an advantage, because no one on the jury is bitter about her voting them out, because she hasn't. So she kind of gets an advantage from making those mistakes. But then George is like, I can't say enough, like, I was only out there for like 26 or 27 days.
That's the whole US season now, Jackie.
I can't express enough, like, how, like, little voices in your head start to get in there, and you kind of have to keep a very clear head to make very instinctual decisions. And the fact that George has been able to make them post-merge with just such a clear confidence in his gut and what it's saying to him, even about Flick possibly having an idol where everyone else was so convinced she didn't have one, to make those clear decisions is a real credit to him, because it is chaotic out there. You're tired, you're hungry, and to still be able to make these decisions is amazing. But I just feel like, unfortunately, with his lack of physical game, it's just not going to play to the jury's values. And I feel that Haley kind of does sit in the middle, and I think she's going to be able to articulate very well her game as well. So I feel like I wouldn't want to be taking Haley to sit beside me.
Yeah, last week we had kind of penciled Wei and Kara in for the final three, and now we're left with this final three of possibly the three biggest threats. It was amazing that happened, and we get this final three where, whatever you feel about them, I know that there's been talk about, well, it's not the best because of this reason, you know, Flick hasn't voted correctly. They are, in I think a lot of different ways, the best at something. Flick has the best story anyone sitting in a jury, I think, could possibly have. You know, like, George has had the best voting record through the most chaotic merge. And in ways, Haley has played the best strategic game. She's currently leading in the Chile. Like, they really are the best at things. That's what makes them the best. It's not, you know, the best strategic three combined because of Flick. But they are an extreme three, I think, that are so impressive. And that's so, so fun for me. And I think it is really interesting, like, for George, I don't know, he started out, and it wasn't just that he didn't have the social connection with the brains. That was obviously a big, big problem. But I came out criticizing strategic moves that he was making, like reading the play, the way that he wore the idol and then played it. I was like, this isn't a social thing. Like, I disagree with that strategic move. And something just shifted where I disagree with basically nothing that he's done since the merge. Like, some stuff has gotten a little bit chaotic, but he has covered it every single point. I thought this week, like, he played optimally at every single point, but he's still in a really tricky position. And it just shows how important the physical side really is towards this endgame, because he's relying on a physical thing. If he was as physical as Flick or Haley, he could back himself to go to a final challenge and bring someone like Kara along. But because he can't rely on that skill set, it makes it a very tricky endgame for him. And having to vote out Wei because other people are immune, have idols and immunity, having to lose Kara through that to carry himself possibly through a challenge to even get to a final tribal council, it puts him in a tricky spot. But I don't think he's doing anything wrong. I just think he's been locked in by the endgame in a way that is difficult. And that's what it's like to be a less physical player.
Yeah, for sure. But I think to the fact that he gave up on those challenges as well, and we don't see what happens back at Jury Villa either. You know, every time someone gets voted out, I'm sure they're all hanging around, they have dinner together, they're discussing what happened. You know, it's not just what they're sitting and listening to at Tribal. The players are coming back as they're being voted out and kind of spilling the tea on what's been happening that they don't see at Tribal as well. And we kind of have to give some value in the strong manipulating players that kind of want to sway jury votes as well. Like, you know, is Danny trying to sway votes towards Flick right now back at Jury Villa? We don't see those things as well, but you need to be taking into account that all that sort of thing is happening.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one from a jury. I think later in this podcast, we're going to go through matchup by matchup and see what jurors we think that everyone can get.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I think we should start off, get to this final five and talk about all these moves from everyone's perspective. Because the first shock for me happened when they didn't break at the final five. I came on the podcast last week being like, Haley's coming for George at five and George is coming for Haley. Haley clearly didn't come at George. She did win immunity, but George is like, I'm thrilled Haley won immunity. I was only focused on Flick, and that surprised me. So what did you think about the decision, I guess, at first from both of them to stick with the four and even target Flick to begin with?
I mean, I think Flick definitely is such a physical threat, so I kind of understand targeting her. She does have a lot of friends on the jury as well. But still, if I'm Hayley, I think I'd rather sit beside Flick than George, because you kind of, oh, I don't know. It's so tough.
Like, it's a tough one.
Yeah, it's so tough. I get the targeting Flick, and Hayley has immunity, so obviously George isn't going to go after her. But even before she won immunity, he didn't want Flick to win it.
Mm.
It's a tough one. I don't mind them targeting Flick. I think getting her onto the jury at that point and keeping her physical strength away, you know, has its advantages. But I am surprised that they didn't turn on each other. But once Hayley won immunity, I was like, oh, I think George is going to go.
Yeah.
And it did surprise me that he was able to turn that around.
Yeah, I think I underestimated just how threatening they saw Flick from a jury and physical perspective. Like, I knew that they saw her as that, but I thought they'd be okay to kind of work with her now, take out each other, and then try and get her at a four or a three. Like, you still have a couple of chances, but I think they were like not willing to even risk her getting further. So I think that's what ended up making sure that they wouldn't split here at five. Like, I could kind of go either way on it as someone who was pretty adamant that they should split at five last week, but I see now how threatening Flick is to them. She obviously does win the challenge at four as well, so it becomes pretty dicey. But I mean, they're looking to go to a four with two pairs. It would have been an interesting one to see how that broke down. Like, I have to assume Haley's, I guess, maybe just thinking she'll win out physically, which would be a pretty good bet with Wei, Kara, and George.
Yeah.
And possibly, I kind of have a conspiracy theory. It's like, is she in a three with George and Kara? Because George says to Kara, like, it's okay if Wei's uncomfortable, she's out next anyway. So I think that that's possible. George is talking about how he wants to sit next to Hayley at the end. So I think that they wanted to work with each other more than I ever possibly could have thought, to be honest, because I thought These are like, these are the king and queen, you know, these are the two strategic forces, like, come for each other now while you're at an odd number. But they wanted to work through it because Flick was just that threatening.
Right, but then I'm confused as to why George would want to sit next to Haley instead of Wei or Kara as well.
Yeah, the Kara thing is weird. I think he should definitely be taking that as a safe bet. Like, what he says to Haley, and even, you know, he does add to it in confessional that he and Haley, he thinks, are at the bottom of the totem pole. So it's not just, like, an agenda that he's talking about. He really does think that he and Haley are, you know, the worst at jury chances, and that's his best bet. He's basically saying that he thinks the brawny-type jurors, he mentions brawn, but you can assume maybe, like, an Andrew and Laura, who are maybe more brawn in value system,
yeah,
are going to vote for the nicer people who haven't hurt them as much, yeah, like someone like a Wei or a Kara or obviously a Flick, whereas he and Haley sit in the same camp of, like, very impressive strategically but have burned people. You know, Haley at that point has just sent home Danny, who's, like, calling her out as a flip-flopper. So he's thinking that they're trying for similar votes, where it is going to be, he said, it's a limited chance, and yes, it's going to be a matchup, but in his mind it's like, well, we can go and pitch our individual games and we'll be kind of pitching on in the same context rather than just losing a bunch of votes I could never get about who's nicer, which is like a battle I've already lost to that value system.
Yeah. And probably not going to be able to sway that person either, with no matter what speech he gives at Final Tribal. But it was funny because I was watching him pitch this to Haley and I was like, oh, he obviously doesn't really think this. And I wonder if she's going to buy it. And then when I saw the confessional, yeah, I was like, oh, he does actually really believe that his best bet is against her. So, yeah, interesting that that's how they perceive each other too, because, you know, as a viewer and what we've seen from the edit, I'm like, you would want to be trying to do whatever you can to take Kara or Wei at this point, because I think that would be what I would be thinking would be my better chance. But, yeah, it's funny that they are in a position where they do see them as such a threat for the jury votes.
Yeah, I don't know how correct that read is. It's something I'd be really interested in. Like, last week I put it as Flick first, then Haley, George, Wei and Kara. But, like, George and Haley with a bit of a question mark and then Wei and George with a bit of a question mark. I really do think he would have beaten Kara. But, like, again, in what world are they getting to the end together? Because one of them would have to win that final challenge. So it becomes really, really tricky there with the physical element of it. And we do get that question a lot. Like, wasn't he just telling Haley what she wanted to hear? For me, it's always about believing contestants, what they tell us in confessional, assuming that you can tell for sure that that confessional is not a Frankenbite. And that one was said to the camera. So we know for sure that's actually what he's thinking. So it definitely provides some context of why they didn't flip on each other here. Flick is obviously a huge threat, so I get that. But then we have to talk about George's, I think, perfect plan. Like, the way he sees the numbers is such a beautiful thing, where he knows exactly how this has to work. He splits it down numerically exactly how it has to happen, where it has to be him and Kara. He can't just put one vote on Wei, because then Wei and George would go to the re-vote off Flick's one vote, and they would vote Flick, Haley, and it would be Kara. Flick and Haley would vote George out on the re-vote over Wei. So he needs her vote. He splits it perfectly. He even says if it goes to the re-vote, obviously they will take out Flick, who they've decided is the threatening person they want to take out here. Like, it was just a beautiful math problem that he was solving right there on the, you know, in the outback in front of us all.
And he's so good at it as well. Like, he's so good. I feel frustrated though when he was talking to Kara, because I'm like, she frightens me. I'm like, if I was having to deal with Kara and talk her into this vote, and she's like, you know, Flick doesn't have an idol, and then I'm like, but what if she doesn't have an idol? It doesn't matter. You still, this protects you. And he's trying to explain it. I was just like, yeah, Kara kind of frightens me. Maybe it's since her first couple of little voting mistakes that she made, but I was like, oh god, I don't know how I would go dealing with her. And then when she's saying that she wanted to tell Haley about it, I'm like, no, Kara, don't do that. But yeah, he is so good. But it does frighten me that his sidekick is just, like, she says that his game is a little volatile, or however she explains it, but I'm like, oh, I don't know, girl. I think that yours is a little as well. So, yeah. But yeah, I agree. It was so good to watch him, like, work it out and trust his gut. You know, like, it would be such an easy vote if you really did believe that Flick didn't have an idol. But, you know, there's a plan B and you've got it there in place and it protects both you and Kara, and it worked beautifully. He is really just a mastermind at the game. And, yeah, it's especially shown through in the later stages of the game. And I agree with you, some of his decisions early on weren't the best. But too, like, you're thrown out there out of your element. I know it is part of the game, but not everyone's going to adapt as quickly. And some people just get lucky and fall into a place where, you know, they align with someone just out of, you know, maybe they slept next to them that night or whatever, and it just works out well for them, and then they can settle in and find their feet. But George didn't really have that opportunity. It kind of, from the start where he got that first advantage, well, I'm not sure if it was an advantage or not, but it threw his game into a bit of chaos, and I think it was harder for him to find his feet early on. But we've really seen him come, full circle and just be strategically, I feel like the later stages of the game, he's been by far the best.
I think it does show that when you're uncomfortable socially, what that can mean for your strategic game. Like, I think the fact that he was really struggling to fit in and probably having, you know, clashing with people made him make worse decisions, because his decision making, as we're saying, has been pretty much on point since the merge. He's bombastic still, but it has really been something I really totally agree with. So I do think that swap period was like the regenesis of George. It was the re-Georginess. Nah, it doesn't really work. But it was like his rebirth, and he came out like a beautiful butterfly into the merge, where he had some social relationships. He got a couple of easy votes under him, where he'd just been scrambling from minute one and behind the eight ball the whole time. He like caught his breath a little bit, was in the majority. On we went. I mean, the Danny vote was its own thing, but he has voted correctly every vote since the Danny vote. So we slowed down a little bit, made some safe decisions, got to the merge with, you know, a little bit of calmness, and has made such good decisions since then. So it has been amazing to watch. And with Kara, I feel, you know, the misread was painful. It reminded me of like Sarah Lucina and Tony in the Winners at War finale, where Tony saying they have to vote for Denise because Natalie will have an idol, and Sarah's just like, ugh, he always overplays. I have to keep him in check. She doesn't have an idol, and you're screaming at the TV because she does have an idol, and Tony is right. And it was exactly the same here, where she's like, ugh, he thinks too much. It's like, there's no such thing as thinking too much, Kara. Like, from a classic overthinker, like, you're thinking just the right amount. So the misread was painful, but from Kara's perspective, like, she is a social player. So for her to hurt allies like a Wei and a Haley by making Wei collateral, that is probably worse for her game. She's not the one on the chopping block who's going to, you know, go home if this goes wrong. But for George, who doesn't really mind stepping on some toes to get what he wants, and is the name in the firing line if Flick does have an idol and has such a good read, it makes perfect sense for him to split. And it's great that he got Kara over the line on it. But yeah, I guess I understand why maybe she's a little bit more, well, it's your life in the game, so I'd rather not piss people off to save it. But definitely 100% he was right.
Yeah, yes. But then I'm like, if she does go to Haley, then Haley's going to go, well, how about this for a plan B instead? So I was like, I actually really thought that George was going to go home that night. I didn't know how he was really going to pull all this off, and I was like, oh, I don't know if Kara will go along with it. But, yeah, his intuition was just so good. And I think, too, like, he hasn't managed everyone that well, but his relationship with Kara, like, she does put a lot of trust in him and what he's saying. So it was good that he was able to get that over the line.
So here's the exclusive that I got in my exit with Kara. She did tell Haley. Right before tribal, she said, at a point where she couldn't have spoken to Wei. Which is, you know, we got a lot of insights, I felt, in my Kara exit interview. That's already out. Everyone should check it out. Because that's like a big thing, I think, because I'm looking at Haley here, because Haley's left out of the vote. That's a big deal for Haley to get left out of the vote. Like, if Haley got unanimously voted out, but otherwise has been completely in control, completely in the majority, and she's left out here. So that, I think, gave Haley fans a bit of a question mark. And the fact that she knew about it and didn't change her vote, that to me informs possibly what she was thinking here. Because she doesn't even need to talk to Wei. Like, if Kara's told her that, she can change her own vote to George, and there'll be one vote on Flick, whether she has an idol doesn't matter. We'll go to a revote, two on Wei, two on George, and Kara will vote for Wei, but Flick and Haley will vote for George. So she can change her own vote. And I think the fact that she doesn't points to maybe more general complacency in this vote that is based on she wants Flick out. That's what we talked about, the decision, the 50-50, Flick so threatening. All right, she wants Flick out, so she has to take the shot at Flick. If Flick has an idol, she's immune. Her ally Wei will be collateral, will go home. She possibly, as we've said, has a final three with George and Kara. So she's willing to just take the shot at Flick, hope she doesn't have an idol, and if she does have an idol, unfortunately loses her ally in Wei. But I think that she wasn't willing to let Flick have a free pass, whether that's working with Flick, whether that's planning for a possible George contingency, which she ends up doing, whether it's hearing about that contingency and still deciding to take the shot just in case you can still send Flick home. I think she thought that was worth it. And there is validity to that, I think. Like, she's not going to go home. She is immune. And I think that she's just got her sights set on Flick, hoping that will go well. And if it doesn't, at least she's not going home with it. I think that's, for me, where I'm reading her headspace in that vote.
Right. Well, I didn't. You have such a big insight there, because then that Kara actually telling Haley.
Right? And, like, I'm in the air, like, really?
I think, too, that they honestly, Wei and Haley honestly felt very strongly that it was unlikely that Flick had an idol. And I think, too, because they had been watching, obviously you watch people after the challenge is over and she didn't win immunity. They didn't see her find an idol because she already had it. You know what I mean? Like, they felt probably very confident that she didn't have one. So, yeah, true. She really wanted, obviously really wanted Flick gone, felt that she, most unlikely, she doesn't have an idol. And if Wei was the damage at the end of it, well, that's was unfortunate. Yeah.
I wonder as well if, like, Haley, I'm like, now, like, it's full conspiracy theory, but I'm like, I'm wondering if she, if her ideal final three really isn't with Wei. And if this was like, okay, well, if she goes home, then it's no blood on my hands. She goes to a jury. She's an auto jury vote for me. Yeah. You know, if Flick had an idol, she goes to four. Hopefully we get her out at four. Then I'm at a final three with George and Kara. I've got a great, great, great chance in that challenge. And I'm sitting at the end with Kara. Then she doesn't have to burn Wei at something like a final three by taking Kara over Wei. Like, the fact that Flick wins at four, that's not ideal. But if they could have taken out Flick at four, she's sitting at three with George and Kara. She hasn't burned Wei at the five. Like, I don't think any of this is intentional, but I think if she's thinking about it, she's thinking, all right, if that's what, we either get Flick out or, like, Wei goes with, like, no blood on my hands. It's worth a shot at Flick. And there's, like, also some pros to that from a jury perspective, from a challenge perspective. And hopefully I win the next challenge. We take Flick out. And then I win another challenge and I'm sitting at the end with Kara. Like, there's a trajectory there.
Yeah. And I think Haley is such a forward thinker as well. Like, she is continually thinking about how she's going to get there and who she wants to be sitting beside. Like, you know, it's not just a vote-by-vote situation for her. She really is strategically trying to see how she's going to get to where she wants to go.
Mm. I mean, I think for me the main thing that comes down to is, like, the shot at Flick was worth it. And I say that because a lot of talk about how Flick didn't tell anyone about her idol when maybe she should have. Like, I feel for me that if she knows Flick is immune, I think she's taking out George. As much as I talk about the trajectory, so maybe there's some pros and cons here, I do think, like, George is a bigger threat at that point. She could hope to sit at the end, at the final three with Wei and Kara as well and take out, like, a real strategic instigator in George. But she never gets the opportunity to make that decision because she doesn't know for sure that Flick is immune. And so she takes the shot. Where did you come down on Flick not sharing her idol? Like, she obviously wants some jury sparks, possibly idling someone out, but she also allowed this very split happy group to one-up her and, again, didn't vote correctly.
I think, again, it just shows a lack of forward thinking. Like, you know, I feel like Flick's just trying to buy herself another, like, you know, a safe for another vote, and then hopefully I win immunity. And I don't think she's thinking that far in advance about how she's going to get to final two and who she's going to sit with. Whereas I think that if she'd really, like, she had such a powerful position in this episode to do that by sharing that she had the idol and kind of navigating her way to a final two or three, but creating an ally as well by I'm sharing information, you know, let's move forward together. Because It is, she is on the outer with, it's like, I know there are four, but they're kind of like a two, two and a one at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to see what, how it could have gone badly for her, like, had she gone to Whaley. Because Haley's hand would have been pretty forced if she'd gone to both of them. Like, Haley would have either had to actively flip the Georgian Kara to get a similar trajectory to what we just spoke about, but with all the blood on her hands, or she would have to take out a big threat in George. Like, I just feel like that would have been the move. And, yeah, it is kind of baffling that Flick doesn't take this to really wield some power. It's the last time she can use it. She's 100% safe. Like, there's very, very little downside in using it in that way. And I think that my issue with Flick in this week is that if she wins out, if she wins the next challenge, you go to the end. I still believe she wins. Like, it's not that the jury will care that she's never voted correctly. Like, this isn't the type of jury, maybe some of them, but I think the overwhelming majority won't mind, as the fans seem to, that she's voted incorrectly. But she just, like, makes her path to the end that much harder. Her path is, like, win out and then sit at the end and win. But now, because she couldn't get things across the line, she couldn't get George out as she wanted to, she couldn't get Haley out of the final four, who's her biggest physical competitor, like, not being able to achieve those strategic objectives that she set out just makes it a really tough path for her in what will be a winning game, but she's just made it like a much trickier road to get there.
Yeah, and it's not just about not being able to achieve it, but to have so much power and not being able to achieve it. You know, sitting there with an idol at Final Five is massive. Like, that's such a big advantage.
Yeah, I mean, we have to talk about Flick and all this, and I do want to say, like, for the fans who are, you know, everyone's up in arms that she has not voted correctly since the Simon vote. She voted Haley out, but she hasn't voted someone out of the game because Haley came back. Since the Simon vote, it's something we've mentioned. It's something we have to criticize and mention. But I also want to note, like, we just have to be cognizant of her situation. I'm not saying that the loss that she's dealing with is the reason for her strategic misses. Like, that just might be the kind of player she is. She's not as strategic. She's more physical and social. But I just think, for me, it's something I'm always cognizant of. Like, when I was watching Game Changers, I was, like, really critical of Zeke's move after the merge. He was, like, completely left out of the vote. And he had just been outed by Vana. And it was only, like, with time that I was thinking, like, of course he didn't play that well. Like, he's traumatized. Like, he's really going through something. So I'm not saying that it's the reason. I'm just saying that whenever you think about a game, I do think it's really imperative to just be aware of the fact that the playing fields just are different. Just don't lose sight of that, for me. As much as we'll come out here and criticize the strategy, like, she should have told him about the idol, and I'm not saying that that's the reason, but I'm just saying that, like, take into account what her day looks like when you're also working through the moves she is or isn't making.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't even be functioning.
Exactly. How is she even doing anything?
Yes. 100%. But you're consumed with grief and then trying to make clear and strategic decisions is underneath all that grief as well. But saying that, I'm not sure prior to the news that she was playing a perfect strategic game either. But saying that, you're going in there knowing that a family member is unwell as plays on your mind as well. You've left someone at home that is unwell, you know, you're worried about them, you have no contact with home, and having those things on your mind is really tough as well.
Yeah, I'm like, again, it's not the reason necessarily for the moves, it's just something that I always try to factor in when I'm thinking about the moves, because yes, there is like an unprecedented lack of power, but it is also within the story, and that's why I say that her story still has value and is extreme, it has extreme pros in that way. Like, I think there's extreme value in her trajectory. It's a winning game we see quite often, like the classic underdog whose allies are all on the jury, who has had less power but comes in with some momentum. Like, if she gets to the end, she probably has to win that next challenge. I don't see either Haley or George taking her. She'd come in with an idol play, two immunity wins. Like, she'd come in with some extreme momentum, and like, the jurors are allowed to vote for that. They're allowed to vote for their friend. They're allowed to vote for a story that inspires them or an underdog that they can get behind. That's their prerogative. It might not be, again, what we value against what will be an incredible game in either George or Haley, a strategic game that is better than most, at least with higher highs than most strategic games I've literally ever seen. But it is their prerogative to vote for that. And everyone knows that that is their battle. Like, Haley and George know that they don't want to go against Flick. That's why they've spent this whole week trying to get her out. And if she can make it there, as tricky as she made the path for herself, like, if she can get through that path and win and get to the end, like, there would be value in that, I think.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, that you're thrust out there with such a diverse group of people, and not everyone's going to get along. But to actually have the skill to be so likable across the board, like I've not heard anyone say anything that, or even responded to her in a way that I thought she's unliked. Like everyone seems to like her. That is a skill in itself, to be out there playing Survivor and being able to get along with all these different types of people. Like that, there's strength in that, you know, as much as a strategic game, as much as a physical game, the social game is part of it, and we can't discredit her for that, you know, that everyone loves her. And it's not just because of her situation, even prior to that. Like she's just a really likable person.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to, you know, score them out of 10, like it's not a great score for the strategy thing. But no. But in terms of the others, like physical, she's maybe like an 8. And then the social stuff, like probably a 10. Like, so you don't start adding it up. And with George, the social stuff might be a little lower. The physical stuff might be at a 0. You know what I'm like? We're adding it all up. And we as fans, for sure, I'm totally in that camp. For anyone who's listened to me knows that, like, I put more weight on one of those columns than the other. 100%. We are here discussing strategy. Like, we don't even mention the challenges. But if you're looking at it, you know, objectively across the aisle, there's different pros and cons across it. And the jurors, I think, value very different things to what I do. So that's what becomes important in this particular game.
Yeah, and I think, too, we have to understand, though, this season has been brains versus brawn, and like, even just to get to the puzzle, that there is a lot of physical components to the challenges.
Yeah.
You've been cast on a show that's kind of trying to pit the brain against the brawn, but the puzzle's always at the end, you know, like I feel like they should have maybe swapped it up a little bit and sometimes had the puzzle at the start.
They did that one time, that one brain teaser, and I was like, that's so fun that that's a different,
exactly.
And then they never did it again.
There should have been more of that, you know, like the puzzle pieces at the start, work that out, and then you can go on to the physical thing. It's just, yeah, I don't know, like I feel like mixing it up would have been a little bit better considering the season that we're on. Like, yeah. I don't mean a traditional, just everyday Survivor. I like that the puzzle's at the end. I think it's great because there's, like, that chance that someone can catch up even though they come in late, as Wei did in one of the challenges. But it's just, when we're having a brain versus brawn, it's just, I think it's rough to be so hard on someone for not being so physical as well. I don't like the giving up in challenges at all. Like, I don't like it that Wei didn't even jump off, and I understand that she's frightened and she can't swim very well. George is frightened of heights and felt like he couldn't jump far enough, but he didn't even try. Like, jump and miss it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just I don't like the giving up, but I feel like when we're on this season that – we're talking about, it's not right to be so hard, especially on the brain tribe when they haven't physically performed as well.
I kind of love it from a narrative perspective. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, like, to have this disparity in the values of brains and brawn, which is not different values, like, that's not anything. Like, that's something we created for TV, but is actually played out here, especially in these final weeks and what we've been left with. Like, that you could have such a brawny brawn, like, flick calling George out for not trying in the challenges, but voting literally not once correctly. It's so perfect because it's so extreme. To have George, who's been so correct on the vote, so innovative, but sitting down in challenges. Like, where else do you get, like, that disparity in brains and brawn? This is really not a massive duality that should exist in society, but somehow in this season, like, it actually does between them. And I bet it's going to be like, if, you know, Haley, if she gets to the end, should 100% be like using that. But like, I love that they are so opposite. I feel like that is a really interesting narrative beat for the end of the season.
Yeah I agree. But I mean, the sad part is that we don't have an even jury with brain and brawn as well. So,
yeah, we have way fewer brawns. I mean, it's at the moment, it's just the three brawns. It's just Gerald, Emmett, and Danny. But it feels like more because Andrew was not a brain.
It actually does.
Yeah, and like Laura, like Laura's not voting. Like, it's not like we got like 12 super fan nerdy Georges and then 12 like brawns. We really got like four brains, maybe, you know, or like brains as we would think of them in like the context of Survivor. And then we got Andrew, who's a survival expert who'd never seen an episode, and he's a brain. Like, no, he's a brawn juror. He's the brawn jury value.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think Laura as well. Like, is Laura like, wow, the way you split that vote at five, George? Like, no. Like, Laura cares, you know, I think about the challenges or about at least the social game. Again, it's her prerogative, but I see her as a brawn juror. She's not, but she kind of is to me. So I think that, like, that's the way that the brains versus brawn thing is kind of ensued, which I think is really interesting. Like, at its core, Survivor should perfectly be brains versus brawn. Again, this duality that doesn't exist. But you have the challenges, and then you have the strategy, brains versus brawn. But then you have the challenges a little bit come into the strategy because one person wins immunity, all right, and there's, like, other competition elements, maybe, like, if they have to make fire. And then brains comes a little bit, hopefully, into brawn because you have, hopefully, puzzles or, like, memory competitions or some, like, strategic competitions. But this season has weighted to brawn because A, those the challenges have been extremely, extremely physical, and it really hasn't been very much the puzzles. And mostly, I think, because the cast is brawn. It's really been like brawn versus brawn with some other people. George's people aren't really there. Whereas like all the brawns were very much that like brawn bravado. So it's interesting because I think it's tipped the scales in like a really interesting way.
And even just seeing the preview for Sunday night too, like we've got a brain versus brawn series, but it looks like the final three challenges is endurance and strength again.
Yeah.
And I get that that makes for great TV, but like it's literally just playing into the stronger physical players. And we're not on a normal season of Survivor. We're on a brains versus brawn. But, yeah, at Final Three, we're giving an advantage to physical strength.
It's actually funny that I'm thinking, like, Baden is, like, the most – Wei now. Wei and Baden are, like, the most brainy jurors. But even Wei, like, is she a super fan? Like, I think she's voting socially. And then, like, Baden is a professional cyclist. Like, these are the brains that we have on the jury. It's a brawn jury, even if it's not, like, brawn and tribe. So, I mean, I'm torn on the Final Three thing because I do think it makes for great TV. I think at this point it is, like, a staple of Australian Survivor. Like, ever since Christy held onto that pole, it's been like, we just push people to how far they want it.
Yeah. And I
think that that does make for good TV. And I think where we have a final two, and it's such a gift to have a final two, like, the, like, how interesting that binary becomes of just, like, how bad you want it, and then you can take someone to the end. Like, there's a beautiful simplicity in that that is also just, like, compelling for television. But it is obviously very, very physical. It's not like something like they do often, like maybe with like some motion, like it's one skill set and it's becoming very predictable. The fact that they can come in and say, we need Haley because it's going to be endurance, and they'll be right, that may be an issue. Like, should they be able to predict the game so well? But then it also is such a staple of the franchise that I don't think I'd want them to lose it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it. I just feel like the brains versus brawn, like they're voting now based on who's physically stronger and who's most likely to win immunity. And when you're saying that the challenges aren't really evenly pitted between brains and brawn, and we're voting people to get rid of them because they're too strong physically, like it goes against the season a little bit, I feel.
But it is interesting how the brains have at least won out in this final week. Like, the fact that Flick could be immune both times in different ways and not win out on the vote because George saw the numbers in a different way, because Haley had such a logical argument at four. Like, that's peak brain. So that's fun. Like, that's a win for the brain argument of it.
Definitely, yes.
So I want to talk about this final four because, I mean, look, I was, as I said, I was like done after the final five. I was like, wow. And then we get this vote, which was just, you know, a thing to behold, a 2-1-1 by Haley, where I thought she was done personally. The only thing for me was that the next time on the episode before was like, which of George and Kara will go? And I was like, why are you narrowing it down to two of the four people? But even with that weird spoiler next time on, when Haley came back and Flick had won immunity, I was like, oh my God, like Haley's lost. Like, gee, this is the end for her. Like, did you think she'd pull it out, or were you like mourning her as I was?
No, I was like, I can't see how she changes this. Cause I didn't think that George or Kara would really be that likely to
me too.
Turn. either of them. And I don't understand. Ailey is so good that she was able to convince both of them. But then I'm like, it makes some sort of sense. Like, George really didn't feel like, well, Flick's not going to take George. Like, he knows that. So he kind of does need someone to beat her.
Yes.
So I get that, but I feel like Kara didn't have to do that to George, because I feel like everyone's taking Kara.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You didn't need to turn on George and do that, because I felt like, and Hayley, I feel like if Hayley really was convinced that Kara was going to vote for George, I feel like the votes would have gone to George, but she just wasn't convinced that Kara was on board. So if Kara had been able to convince Hayley that she was on board, then I don't think Kara would have gone home. George would have.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we need to talk about this from everyone's perspective, because there were so many moves in this one four-person vote. Every single person was making an interesting decision, I thought. So for Hayley, like, I loved her hitting it from both sides, because if she doesn't, if she doesn't get them to turn on each other, she's having to make fire. Like, it's getting them to turn on each other that's the key, not just one person. So to talk about, let's talk about how she convinces George. It's an interesting one for me, because we don't actually hear from George, which is rare, between the challenge and their conversation. So I'm not super sure, did she convince George? Was George already thinking like this? Because as you're saying, there's logic there. For me, it's optimal. And George is such a smart guy and really sees the game so well, as we've said. That to me, it's possible to me that he is coming to that conclusion by himself, and it's possible that Hayley leads him there and they make the right move together. So do you like this move from George? Because I think a lot of people see it as, you voted out your best friend and you could have definitely beaten her at the end. Like, it's been contentious, I think, that George has made this move. There has not been, like, the internet, I think, agreeing about George's move here.
Well, I think, too, that once... I feel like he maybe came to the realization that he's never getting to final two with Kara.
Yes. Had to let go of that dream.
Yes. And possibly that's where it came from, because unless him and Kara magically got really great at the final three.
Yeah, unless they became different physical specimens in the next day. Unless there was like a genie that showed up and was like, one wish, and he's like, I wish I was perfect at this challenge. Like, it looks really, really tough for both of them
and
to get there.
He thinks that Hayley's the most likely person to take him to final two. Like, he doesn't think Kara's going to win the final challenge. So therefore it's going to be Flick if he gets rid of Hayley here. Do you know what I mean? And Flick's not going to take him to final two.
And even if Flick does take him, I think he loses.
So
it's a losing game.
He needs to keep Hayley there to at least hope that she wins the final one and does take him.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, Flick would take Kara over him anyway. And
yes.
Like, for me, it comes down to this. He's in a tricky spot, as we've said, like, blocked in, having to get rid of someone like Wei, who might have been someone to sit next to better physically at a final three or at a jury, possibly. But he has to get rid of Wei because he's boxed in. Now he can't get rid of Flick. So the decision becomes, what battle do you want to have? Do you want you and Kara to go up in a physical battle against Flick? Really, really tough battle. Or do you want to have the opportunity to quite probably, I mean, Hayley's amazing at endurance, to have Hayley take you because she's never taking Flick and go up against her in a final tribal council. Yeah. A very hard battle too. Definitely tough. Yeah. But if I was George and looking at my skill set, I don't think I'd want the physical challenge battle. I think I'd be thinking, all right, I have played an epic game. I do think I have a chance against Hayley. He says it's a limited chance, but a chance. She did get voted out. He's the only member of the final four to never be voted out of the game. This is the battle I'm choosing, a battle where I, as a politician, can speak to the jury rather than try and take on an athlete in a challenge. And I like that battle. Like, it reminds me of Dom and Wendell. Like, he's always gone back and said he should have taken Wendell in fire. Like, and I've always disagreed with that kind of, like, recanon of that. Because I thought, okay, if you're choosing to battle him in fire, like, fire can go anywhere. You chose to battle him at the final tribal council. You chose your arena, and you got very, very close. You got 5 of 10 votes at the time. And yeah. So he chose that battle. Here, George is choosing his arena. His arena is the final tribal council. He is a politician and a speaker for a living. He's backing his game in that way. I would not be choosing. For me personally, in my physical element, and George, the same, I would not be choosing the physical arena between those two competitions.
Yes, we saw his standing jump. He couldn't jump very far.
Poor George. Yeah. Like he doesn't want to jump. Like he doesn't, this is not what he's doing.
No, I agree. I totally get George's decision to flip, and possibly Hayley probably sees the logic in that. If she's going to turn someone, the narrative makes more sense to George. Her pitch makes more sense to George than to Kara, so that's where she's hedging her bets that she's going to get the person to flip. But yeah, just surprising that both of them did. And I think that George's flip makes a lot more sense than Kara's, because I can see the logic behind it. Like you said, his strength is going to be in how he can articulate his game to the jury. And being a politician, he's used to that kind of arena. He's used to public speaking and trying to sway people to his way of thinking. That's his job. So he has a strength if he can get to final two, but I think that this is the easiest path for him to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, we'll never know, I guess, until we talk to George in a deep dive or an exit interview, mm-hmm. you know, whether he was thinking about it himself. I mean, and again, like we won't really know until we hear from that. But good on Hayley, definitely, for articulating it perfectly, for coming in for the exact right argument and for leading with a lot of logic. Like, she may have led George there, or at least, like, cemented some thoughts he was having himself. So brilliant job there. And then this is, to me, what's so beautiful about the move, as you're saying, it's flipping Kara. That's the beauty for me.
Yes.
Flipping George to logic, you work together on that. But flipping Kara to make what I believe is a non-optimal move. Now, it's a tough right. one because she's drawing dead, right? Probably. She even said to me in the exit, like, she basically thought that she was coming second and was, like, okay with that. But then, like, every part of the move is not, like, everything that Hayley's selling to her is not logical. So, like, she's saying that, like, she's relying on Hayley's physicality. Like, she's not. Because she has Flick's physicality. Flick will take you too. She's not relying on anyone winning the challenge because she's getting taken every single way. Yes. Hayley says to her, you got to make a bigger move than George. Whereas I don't think this would be a move for Kara's resume. I think it would look disloyal to a brawn jury. Maybe they wouldn't mind about George, but it would look disloyal. To me, it's Hayley's move. Like, Hayley's under the pump and she's pulling off a 2-1-1 when her game should have been dead. So these are the things that she's selling to Kara to get her to turn on her number one ally, an emotional player, a social player, to make that kind of social fracture. Like, this was the pure magic for me in Hayley's move.
Sure. And I think too that her being able to convince Kara that me manipulating you in a way to get rid of George would come off as a good move for you. This would be
yes, exactly.
I think give credit where credit's due. The fact that Hayley could actually talk Kara into making that, because Kara's always seemed a little unsure about herself too. Like, she likes to talk things through. Like, she likes to discuss with George the decisions. It's just, I think I heard that she said that she hadn't really made up her mind.
Yes. I have intel on that from the exit as well. It was a great exit. People got to check it out. There were insights galore. So she told me she made it up, like, basically in the voting booth. That she was, like, 2 minutes in the voting booth deciding. So, like, really, it was, like, and, you know, she said it was, like, head and heart. Which we can possibly disagree with. Like, really, it was a last minute thing, which is also, like, a crazy thing to find out at the exit.
Yeah, I mean, the head thing I didn't really get. I didn't think it was a great decision for her. I mean, not that it would have made any difference anyway if she'd stuck with Hayley. I mean, she still ends up going home, but even still, then, yeah.
If she sticks with Hayley, she goes to fire against Hayley. At least she gives herself the chance. Like, yeah. she did vote herself out here. Like, it's her one vote that could have saved her, that could have earned her at least fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. Like, it's hard to work with players, I think, who are drawing dead.
Yeah.
Because either they don't see it, so, like, what optimal move can they make? They can't win the game. Like, what are they trying to achieve? And Kara even seemed to, as I said in my exit, be somewhat aware of that. So what becomes her optimal move? Is her optimal move just staying with George? Is that the win condition now? That, like, she'll, you know, not betray her friend when she can't win anyway? I'm not 100% sure, because it's like, again, she can't get to a win. But I definitely think everything that Haley was telling her, it wasn't in her best interest at the very least. I don't know if other things were in her best interest. Again, when she can't win the game, I don't think. But I don't think what Haley was telling her was. So I think this is, like, pure convincing. This is, like, manipulation from Haley that I think is beautiful to watch.
True. And the thing is, too, that George is going to get Kara's vote regardless as well. Yes. Like, you know, so, but yeah, I just think the move from Haley has been, like, it was magical, pretty much. Yeah. I'm like, she's like, not a wizard. How is she going to pull this off? And when they both did it, I was just like, oh, kudos to you. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely had a lot of, like, why didn't she vote for George? She could have got George out. I think she would have wanted to get George out, because we're saying, like, if she wins the challenge, she has to take George. That might be more of a tough road for her at the final tribal council than Kara would be. But mm-hmm. she said in her voting confessional that she didn't believe that Kara had turned, and she believed George. And that was a pretty good read by her, I guess, because when she's voting, I think she voted before Kara. So Kara actually hadn't made that decision as she's casting her vote. So I think it was a tricky one for her, because if she does vote for George and Kara hasn't turned, then it's George's voted for Kara, she's voted for George, and the two Haley votes, Kara's vote and Flick's vote, are sending her home in a 2-1-1, which I don't think she wanted to risk. So it's a good read that she and George are really transparently reading each other to make that move together, that they knew they were locked into the Kara vote and they went with the sure thing. Because as we're saying, Kara made the decision in the voting booth. So at the time that she votes, that is just way too big a risk that Kara's going to go a different way in 30 seconds when she actually votes.
Kara's indecision about it up until that point is really what got her voted out.
I know, isn't it crazy? Like, if she just has one conversation with her and is decisive, and then Kara's not going home.
I am 100% voting with you.
Oh my God.
And then she saves herself, George goes home. You know, it just not deciding and being that, I don't know what I'm doing until I get up there. You know, then you're casting a vote that no one else
can predict.
Predicts, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
no one can rely on that vote.
It has no power to it other than you just throwing your name down and just, oh, I'll do this right now. But yeah, it's unfortunate. She could have saved herself. She could have got her second place that she wanted all along.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's the beauty of 2-1-1s, as I've said. Your vote had the power. And it was her vote that sent her home, that she doesn't vote for Haley, that she's manipulated by Haley in that way, and fooled, not just manipulated by Haley to make the move, but then fooled by Haley in the way that Haley's going to go when she actually votes for her. And it's also just in her actions, like, in her approach, if she'd just been more decisive, and George goes home, like, it is actually just shocking to think about the way that it could have gone, because she really just, like, did herself no favors. And it's also, like, beautifully full circle for the narrative of the season that, like, her one vote sends herself home when, like, she is someone who, like, has had one vote mistakes that sent Dani home. Like, she's had, like, a lot of one vote interesting things, but, like, her one vote sent Laura home. And she also self-sacrificed and voted herself out. Like, again, it was a human moment.
Yes.
But earlier in the season, like, all of that culminating in her vote and approach sending her home on the power of her own soul vote, not sending her to fire, is just, like, another thing I love about the narrative of this season.
I still loved watching their relationship, George and Kara's together. Mm. I think it made for really good TV. And it was just, like, really nice to see up until, like, we knew at some point they're going to turn on each other. But such a loyal couple together was,
It
was a nice relationship to watch.
The fact that, again, all that full circle moments of her one vote and it comes at George and Kara flipping on each other was such an interesting narrative element to end that whole long-term storyline.
Yeah. So there was no bitterness because they did it to each other. They kind of almost leave with their friendship in perfect tact because they turned on each other as well.
Yes. It's amazing. Like, I also thought with the way Wei went out, I was like, this is such a good narrative end. Again, like, we wish we got more confessionals during the season from some of these relationships, George and, like, Kara specifically with George and Wei. But they've made up for it somewhat at the end. And also, like, with Wei, it's been such a complex relationship with George. And the fact that her final episode was like him helping her in the challenge and then her like going home by his hand, but not even really on by his hand, like as his collateral, that to me was perfect. It's not even like he took her out. That would almost be too clean. The fact that she like he saved her, but then she ends up here going as just pure numerical collateral. I was like, this also is like perfect for their complex day one relationship.
Yeah, no, I mean, has that ever happened in like an individual immunity challenge where someone will go back and help someone?
So we have to talk about this because, I mean, they're always, I think, going to do what's best for TV. The best precedent that I can think of is that during a challenge where in South Pacific, where they all wanted Aussie to lose, Sophie tells Albert to drop his damn stack when they're making the House of Cards, the car challenge that Danny won. And Jeff's like, that's not allowed. Because it shouldn't be allowed, I guess, to like help people in like group challenges, right? Because where does it end? Like they all want flick out. Can they all just go on one person's path and start throwing sandbags for them or skee ball or whatever to make sure Flick doesn't win? Like can George run up and start helping Haley in skee ball so that Flick will lose? Like I don't think they'd allow that, but I don't think they know where the line is. I think the line is like, this seems okay. Wei and George, neither of them are winning this challenge anyway. It's a beautiful TV moment. But if you really think about it, is it something that should be allowed? Is that something that we should be broaching?
I mean, when it's individual immunity, like I kind of feel...
It's individual?
It does cross some sort of line. And the thing is too, like I actually feel like the move was instinctual for George.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, he was, come on, Wei, like, he was encouraging her. And I think it showed something about George's character too, about what sort of person he was. He saw someone in distress and needed help, and it took 30 seconds of his time. And I think I saw him write an Instagram post and to help someone in need. But saying that, when Flick desperately wants to win immunity, this is her game on the line, and we're playing an individual immunity and he's helping someone, which actually is hedging his bets as far as he knows that Wei is good at puzzles. If I can get her through the physical part
that
of this,
true.
She can beat Flick. I've got another person there that can beat Flick.
That's
so
true.
We're operating as a team now versus Flick, which is unfair. How does Flick feel about that? Like, is that fair if Wei had won it?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair. I think that they, like, the challenge department or production are looking at it and thinking, like, Wei's so far behind. She's not going to win this. It's kind of just a beautiful TV moment that has no bearing, but it could. It's a puzzle. We've seen Wei come back and play a puzzle and win it before. Like, it's a great equalizer. So I think the fact that it felt not tight and not important maybe contributed to that decision, whereas, like, if they're all, like, they each have like one sandbag left and someone, they all just start running over and helping their, you know, their ally. I think it's something we need clarity around. Like if we can game the challenges, then that's a little bit of brain in the brawn, right? And there might be merit to that, but it's something that's just never been allowed. It's something I think the casuals would despise. And it's something I don't think the show want to do. I just don't think that they realize what kind of barrier they were letting down and allowing this TV moment that seemed inconsequential to happen. Like at my hen's survivor, my bachelorette survivor night, I wanted my friend out because she betrayed me. It was a really fun time. And we were playing match with photos of my cat. All the challenges were based around me. This was the best night ever. And I was gaming the system in that I wanted me or my ally to win, my other friend. I'm a very fun friend to have, and that this is how I play games with them.
Amazing. I want to be invited. Yes.
So it was her. It was the person I was against, my one friend, versus my ally, my other friend, and they were like winning match. So I started throwing match. I was behind. I was the one before my friend, and I started helping my friend, my ally, in winning match. I gamed the system so that she could win, so that we would block the person we wanted to vote out of winning cat match game, and she did, and she got voted out. And I don't know if that was allowed, but I gamed the system.
It's cheating.
It was my bachelorette, you know, like it was my hen's night. And that's what I did.
Individual immunity. It's individual immunity. But possibly.
Okay, so you're saying that I shouldn't have won my bachelorette hens, my bachelorette hen survivor night, because I did win, and I take that victory very seriously.
No. I think that you can have it, but I think we need to just say, look, it's it's a very blurry line there.
Yeah, it's very blurry now. Like now, and it makes me doubt my whole bachelorette win in gaming that system. No, but it's something that they definitely aren't allowing. Like, if they want to make that decision, I'm interested in it. I think that that's an interesting thing. Most of the time, it will make for terrible TV as you know, immunity is usually like the one secure pathway that the underdog has. Now, let's see whole alliances gang up on the underdog, team up in the challenge, and make sure that you lose. There's no way they're ever allowing that. So right. I don't think they realized the precedent they set. I do think it was just like a human moment. There is definitely possibly some strategy there, as you're saying, George could be helping Wei beat his opponent in Flick. But I do think, and Wei also said in the exit, that it was just like this beautiful moment. And that's how I see it. But I just don't think that they realize what they did. And I'll never let it happen again if it's ever in any actual competitive context. But it is something that happened, and I don't think they get it.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be something in George's mind that goes, I'm helping Wei because she needs help. But also, too, if I can get her past this and she can get up to the puzzle, she has a chance to beat Flick. Possibly if she had beaten Flick, JLP says, unfortunately, Wei, you've been disqualified because you had help along the way.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Or you didn't complete this.
Well, what the hell would be the point of that? He can help her. No one's telling them it's not allowed. And then if Wei wins, it's then, like, they could not do that. They'd be like, why didn't you just tell us at the time? Like, no.
Well, you may go back and do it on your own. I know. I'm trying to, like, throw it out there that I'm hoping that they would keep it, the game, more pure and not let Wei win in under these circumstances, because it's unfair to Flick, really.
Yeah, I mean, everything has an agenda. That people have said he was doing it because she just said he was mean, because she could be a jury vote. Like, Wei even said in the exit that she was possibly less likely to just go against George at that vote because she did feel indebted to him. If that was a move she was going to make with Flick, she was possibly tipping that scale a little bit less because of that social action. So there's always an agenda, but it's more from the show for me that's interesting. I do think that George was mostly, I think that was a very human thing for me.
I agree. And I think the actual thought that came into his mind, I should go help her, came from a place, there's someone in need and I can quickly go help her. But he's a brain at the end. Like, it's just, look, Wei's in trouble. I should go help her. And if she has a possibility to win if I do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's got to be that afterthought that I don't think that was his initial motive, but possibly that's the little end part that makes him get up and run over there and do it.
But there was no way that JLP was ever saying, Wei, that win doesn't count. Because if that happens, then the way to win challenges is to just go help everyone, disqualify them all, and then you have weightless competition. Like, that's also breaking the game.
I just don't know how they could say that she won it then and then. Like, is that not wrong?
I mean, I agree. Like, there was a lot in this challenge. I got tagged a lot in the puzzle being slightly wrong. There was stuff that came out on Twitter. Matt Tarrant tweeted.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Three of the pieces were like, two of the pieces, I think, were in the wrong place. Like, needed to be switched, and then a couple of them needed to be turned around. I don't have much to say about this. Like, I got tagged in it a lot. It's obviously something I need to mention. As an AFL fan, there were so many wrong calls. You go by the ref's whistle. Like, this is what happened. This is what was called as the win. Like, I don't really know what can be done. It's unfortunate that it happened, but, like, I don't know. This is the win. This is what we got.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's unfortunate. I'd like JLP to look a little closer before he announces the winner, but he announced it. They all stopped. I'm assuming that they found out after the fact as well. I mean, do they make them all go do the start the challenge all over again? Like, what? Where do they go from there? They've kind of made it, but I mean, how? Kara was probably the closest person to winning at that point. Do you think?
It seems so, but Haley's mistakes were like very small. So you would think, of course you need to just see what she's done wrong, but you would think that she could see that. I mean, do they have, like, an example of it? Like, when I'm doing a puzzle, like a tabletop puzzle, I can see the picture. Like, I feel like it would be, you need the picture, really.
Yeah, there is none there for her, but if JLP had looked at it closer and go, not quite right, Haley would have seen where the mistakes were and flipped them around and would have won anyway. Yeah.
That's what we have to just believe. You have to go by the ref's whistle. I mean, a lot of people are mad about it. I want to say to them, don't watch footy. Do not watch AFL. It is a badly called game, and things come down to it, and you just got to move on through it. Like, that's what happened, and that's where we're at, and everyone's trying their best in it. It obviously wasn't, like, a malicious thing, and we just, got to roll on, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, too, that, it's a call that was made. We just need to accept that it wasn't, he didn't see that it was wrong and still announce that she was the winner. It's a mistake where, I think people are getting more riled up about it than they should. I didn't see too much of the post other than Matt just pointing out that it was wrong. Mm. And then I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate that it happened,
Yeah, good to know. We roll on. There was a lot going on. We have people helping each other. We have the puzzle being wrong. Like, it happened as it happened, right? Like, the challenge is over. There's no more we can say about it. That's what I have on that. But I would love to chat through what the jury is possibly thinking and possibly do some matchups with this final three.
All right, let's do it.
All right, well, let's talk about the jury sentiments that we get this week because I felt confused by it. Like, he's telling us he's in a tough spot. He legitimately thinks that, and I agree with him, like, especially in the final three that he's in. But then every other person is painting him as a threat. Every other person, literally every single one, said he's such a huge threat. Kara told me in the exit, had to go to George, he was the biggest threat, he played the best game. Flick is saying he's the biggest threat, everyone will lose to him, he played the best game. Like, if someone like Flick is saying that, if she's sitting on the jury, is she voting for that against someone like Haley? I was really confused about the way this was being portrayed, and I think it's really, really, really tough to nail down where some votes are going if George is there.
Yeah, I feel like people ultimately want to do the right thing. I want to, like, if I'm on a jury, no matter what someone's done to me, like me personally, I really want to give my vote to the person that I think has played the best game. And I think on the season that I played on with Matt's vote, for Shane, it was a bitter vote against Sean. It wasn't that he thought Shane played a better game. It was just a bitter vote. And I was like, who does that? Like, we're talking, people have played their heart out for so many days and you're upset about the way someone's done something to you. Like, let's just try and put emotion aside and go, who has played Survivor the best overall? Saying that, I think that people that think that George has played the better game can justify their vote of not voting for him because of his lack of physical strength and because he gave up on challenges. They can justify, I'm not going to give my, I think he's played an amazing game, but giving up doesn't sit well with my values, especially like as, a sporty or brawn person, like that's, or even a brain person, you're out there trying to compete and giving up doesn't sit well with people. Like, people quitting like that, it's unfortunate that he did it. I just wish he hadn't have done that. Like, it's one thing to not be physically strong, but to just give up on challenges. I feel like that is literally could lose him this game.
Well, that would suck. Like, that would be a terrible reason to lose.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he can get to final two, what the jury questions are and where they kind of angle their questions from, like as far as him giving up, whether it is a big issue or not. But I feel for people like Flick and Danny, like they definitely like were almost like headless about the fact that he gave up.
But then Flick is saying, we have to get rid of George, he'll beat everyone. And it's like, if you think that, you must credit his game and you might be a juror. So I'm just so confused. Like, I think, I don't know that this can be nailed down. Like, even when Kara gets a jury villa, she's like, oh, like they take me out. She's like, why? Like, it was a really short interaction that I like rewatched a bunch of times, but she's like, why would they take me out? Because why would you take George to the end? And then a male voice is like, when they both want to take George. So like she's coming in being like, they won't want to take George. He's played the best game. And then there's a juror being like, you do want to take George. Like it's very, very extremely disparate for me. It's like, I think Flick wins anyway. And we'll definitely do the matchups, but I think against Haley, like there's a bunch of votes I'm really confused by for George.
I mean, I think we can be safe to say that George is not going to win the final endurance thing. I just
feels
I
unlikely. Yes.
I feel that it is unlikely. And then it comes down to the two girls, and then I'm assuming Hayley would take George.
I think, yeah.
And I think Flick may take.
I think Flick should definitely take George. We'll do the matchups. Like, if Flick takes Hayley and somehow loses that way, man, that would be a capper to some incorrect moves, wouldn't it? Like, that would be. That would. I think she'd win either way, but I definitely would not back that choice at all.
Yeah, so you think she's got a stronger chance against George?
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's do the matchups because I want to get your.
Okay.
Let's do Flick versus George. Here's what I think. You let me know if you disagree with any of these words. I think Flick gets Emmett, Gerald and Danny, the three blondes. I think she gets Andrew for sure.
Yeah.
And Laura. Laura, I think people are confused about. I think people are forgetting, like, Laura and George, not a lot of love. I mean, in that pre-merge, he voted her out. Like, he was voting against her allies. They were completely on the opposite side of the pre-swap. I definitely don't think he gets Laura. And I think Flick, for me, could get Wei. Wei, George did help her, but she also said he was mean. They've had such a complicated relationship. I mean, I think it would be beautiful if she voted for him. It would be like a Palesa Tom kind of full circle thing. But I personally think that Flick would get Wei. I think George could get Hayley. Kara, for sure, and Baden, which would make Flick win either in a 5-4, but like a 5 locked in, impossible to lose votes, or a 6-3.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Wei. Like, I think that Wei would give George a lot of credit for how he's played the game strategically.
I think we'll also have to realize that, like, Flick is playing through the death of a parent. Like, she's going to come in and say that. Like, you see the confessionals where she talks about why she's doing it. It's so inspiring. I think it'd be really tough to vote against for some of these people.
And Wei can tend to be slightly emotional too. So that,
teetering, yeah. But still, either way.
I feel like Wei might give her vote to George there. Like, but that's the only one I kind of like. And when I say I disagree, I'm like, I feel it could go either way. And Laura's could possibly go either way as well.
I don't see that at all. Like, that, those are the two, Laura and Wei, that people are talking about in the Flick versus George matchup. Like, Laura's voting for George. Like, does she care at all about his strategy? Like, they had such a bad relationship that we saw, like, in the early game, and I never saw it get, like, super positive.
No, and I suppose, too, when you watch Tribal and he doesn't go, and when she thinks he's going, she looks kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
She looks pretty crestfallen when he doesn't go. So possibly you're right there. But yeah. It's hard. Like, I think too, juries, some people would have made up their mind and it doesn't matter what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
In that final pitch, and when you're trying to sell your moves and your resume, and people have already made up their mind. They don't really care what you've got to say. And pretty much there's jury members that really just want their time to, you know, air their grievances as well. You know, their questions aren't really based about whether they should be giving their vote to someone. It's just their opportunity to get something off their chest. I don't know. Like, I feel like, I get that there was no love lost between them, but I still feel like she's going to listen to his pitch.
Yeah, for me, the pitches for Hayley and George would be the matchup, whereas, like, Flick and George were saying are such opposites. Like, I can't really imagine a pitch mattering because they're such different extremes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you probably come in on, like, one side of that, like, very disparate spectrum, whereas, like, Hayley and George have maybe played more similar games, have similar cons, which are being in dicey spots, betraying people, but also the pros of, like, having been strategic masterminds. So those pitches are interesting for me. For Flick, like, I just think with George, like, I can't see those 5 votes wavering. And so whether it's 5-4 or 6-3, whatever, like, I think she wins. Don't think the pitches would matter. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
But I know some people are, like, iffy on the Laura and Wei votes. Flick versus Hayley. Again, this is probably the hardest matchup for me to actually see happening, because it would require, Hayley would never take Flick. It would require Flick winning and taking Hayley, which I think would be the wrong move because I see it more with George. But I guess anything's possible. That's something she could do. So this is where I see it. I see Flick getting Emmett, Gerald, Danny, and Andrew for sure. Those four. Three brawns and Andrew, who is basically a brawn.
Yeah.
I think Haley definitely gets George, Baden, and Wei. That's three. Yeah. Then the two votes that I have a little bit iffy. Laura, again, like, I do think Laura is really going to be sold by the Flick store. I just don't see her being, like, as impressed from a strategy perspective. But then she worked a little bit with Haley. Haley literally saves it with an idol. I think there could be more connective tissue there, definitely, than she has with George. And then with Kara, I don't know, like, how much of a relationship, like, Kara and Haley, we did see a social relationship. They did work together in, like, a group.
Kara would go to Haley.
But I feel like Kara's, like, she's an empath. Like, she's going to sit there and watch someone talk about what this experience has meant through that story that Flick has. I think, like, I could see it going to Flick.
I mean, I get a story is a big part, and I'm like, obviously, that I don't know. Like, I get that's an emotional thing and it does play with people's emotions, but you still need to be saying who played the better game of Survivor. I mean, and under the circumstances for Flick to get so far, you have to give that, there's weight in that. But I still feel like Kara, I mean, I feel like she would give her vote to Haley.
I think this is dicier than I expected it to be because I've been like, Flick is an auto win. I think I probably still lean Flick. I think Flick's getting Laura. I think that's the one for me where I'm like, I just imagine her maybe going with Andrew, maybe going with like that kind of like big block contingent that is mostly Braun and Andrew and her. But I think it is dicier. And I think for someone like Kara, she's possibly voting the way George votes, who I think would vote for Haley. And I also think like, it would be a bad move for Flick to take Haley. It would look bad, I think, in the eyes of the jury. Because while they're saying George is a big threat, got to get him out, I think the jurors are like, no, George is, like, not as much of a jury threat. He's burned us all. And I think that it would look like, as her final move, kind of like what Shan did in taking Shane over Brian, where it was like she definitely would have beaten Brian, I think it would look like, well, that's a bad move. And someone like Kara might care about that. It's like, well, if you've taken George, you might have won. But now you've made it tricky, and actually that decision, you put yourself in that difficult situation, will actually make me lean towards Haley, who didn't make that bad decision and who, you know, has a lot of merit, obviously, to vote for.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be, I think it could go either way, who Flick would take if she won.
It shouldn't be that up in the air, but like it kind of is.
I feel like it is.
Just because he said multiple times this week how much of a jury threat George is and that he would beat anyone, which is not the right read, I don't think. I don't think it's the right read against her.
But she's not in the jury villa either. So yeah. She doesn't hear their conversations they're having over dinner and stuff as well. Like, you know, they could be sitting there just saying, as long as George doesn't win, I don't care who wins.
Yes.
You know, she's not privy to those. I mean, she should be getting reads off them anyway, as tribals go down. But the thing is, too, we saw Flick getting the news about her mum and how upset she was, but, you know, the people that spend 24 hours a day with her have been watching her struggle with it more than I think the viewers have. Like, that doesn't make for, you know, really nice viewing, seeing someone cry their eyes out at nighttime, cry themselves to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, all those sorts of things. And I think that we don't see that, but her tribe mates have been seeing that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that has been happening, which I think that we have to
very good point.
More weight on the emotional connection that they have to her story than what we've seen.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, the producers aren't going to show all that much because that's tough viewing. You know?
I think that could matter to someone like a car. I think that's a really good point. So it's dicey than I would have thought, you know, saying Flick's been an auto win and stuff. I still lean Flick just on that Laura vote. Look, Haley really saved Laura with an idol, but I don't know, you know, we've said good deeds get you nowhere. I think that five for me are locked in either way, but Laura's just more of an if with Haley, and that is Haley's chance. Because she's definitely got four. Flick against anyone. I think she's got Emma, Gerald, Danny, and Andrew against both. So she just needs one more vote. So it is a good situation for her in either way. And it's just about getting that fifth vote across the line, which I think she has in Laura. But, you know, I guess she could lose all other five votes with her story. I think it's tough, but I guess possible.
Yeah, so you're thinking, you think if Flick doesn't win the immunity challenge, there's no way she's making it to final two?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't see Haley taking her, and I don't see George winning, and I don't see George taking her either. So
yeah, even if he did, yeah.
I think she needs to win. And then the matchup that I find most difficult is Haley versus George. Okay, let me know what you agree with. I think there's a lot up in the air. I think this could come down to the pitches. I think Haley's definitely got Wei. I think George definitely has Kara.
Yeah.
I think Haley has Andrew and Laura. I don't see them voting George. I think that's been my big thing. Like, I'm just, you know, they really weren't vibing with George. And I know Andrew's burned by Haley, but he's, like, also burned by George. And I feel like he'd see Haley as the lesser of two evils. Baden? I don't know. Like, Baden could go either way in a positive way, which is kind of cool for them. Like, he's friends with both. I think that would be, like, a hard decision for him. And then, like, there's the burned Brawns, like, Emmett and Gerald, who worked more with George, but were also burned more by George. Then Danny has that exact sentiment, but for Haley, like, she worked more with Haley, but was burned more by Haley. So it becomes about, like, do you respect that or are you hurt by that? And then...
From everything I've heard from Danny, I feel like her vote's going with Haley. She respected
she
Haley.
She did respect it, yeah. She seemed to come down in jury villa to be less, like, mad than when she left tribal council.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that she has less respect for George, and I think I get the vibe she just doesn't like him.
Yeah, I mean, and then, like, Flick has worked with Haley a lot but keeps saying George is a huge threat, and I just wonder if that would inform her vote. I lean to Haley, but I think votes are up for grabs. Like, if Haley does have Wei, Andrew and Laura off the bat, and Danny, I could agree with you, I think we'll, like, kind of respect that strong play as much as it burned her. Like, that's already four votes, and she just needs, like, a Baden or, like, an Emmett to be mad or Flick to just have had a better relationship with her. Like, I think the votes are there, but I do think they're up for grabs. I think that would be a really interesting matchup.
Yeah, I think it's really tough to call. Like, I think if Flick gets the final two, I feel like she does have the advantage there. But saying that, I think both Haley and George are going to be very eloquent with their pitches. And then if the jury is possibly open before they get there, then that could make it a bit more of an even playing field. But I feel like a lot of the jurors have made up their mind prior to getting to this the final pitches. So it's just, yeah, it's a tough spot, I think, it's a tougher spot for George.
Yeah. Yeah, I think George comes in with the biggest uphill battle.
Yeah.
I think Flick comes in with the easiest run with some locked-in votes that she just kind of maybe needs to convert one or two, one maximum pretty much. And I think Haley comes in at a good spot against George and has a sneaky chance against Flick, but it would be, like, on the line. She'd have to win 5-4 and get every single vote against someone who has played through the most arduous of circumstances.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one. I mean, yeah, I hope we get a lot from the jury, like, you know, especially losing some of the characters through the season and not seeing so much of their edit. Like, in your season, of course, we got very little of Monica and then didn't hear from her at all, I remember, in the final tribal council, because it's a new jury format where they don't all say something. And yeah, then it was a 5-4. And I'm like, everyone's vote is so imperative. So I just kind of want to get a sense of what every juror is doing and why, unless it's, like, obvious, you know, like Danny would vote for Flick or whatever. But, like, I really want to get a sense of, like, why these things are happening, because I think it is quite an interesting jury prospect for, like, these matchups. And in some ways more interesting than I would have thought for someone like Flick versus Haley. But yeah, I really want to get a sense of those individual decisions.
And it's so strange because we're not out there, so we don't see the 24 hours a day stuff that goes on. And like I said, we're not privy to how much Flick has struggled and emotional, and how much she's just got herself up every day and fought all the way to the end. And I think that will carry a lot of weight. Saying that, if I look at the games, other than George giving up on a challenge, I don't feel negatively about whether you are physically good or not at challenges.
But the jury will.
But the jury will. And the giving up really doesn't sit that well with me either. But even just looking at his game and the moves he's made and how flawless it's been post-merge, I feel like if I was on the jury, I'm giving my vote to George in both situations.
I mean, he's the only one who didn't get voted out. We've spoken about Haley. She was twist screwed and then twist saved. But, like, I can't believe we got to the final four. Once Wei was voted out, he was the only person not actively voted out of the game. There were circumstances like Kara's self-sacrifice. Haley has individually saved him. So it's not, like, such a neat little narrative. But, like, it's just a shocking stat.
But can I just say I'm so happy with the final three as well, and I'm not going to be unhappy with any one of them winning. You know, there's no, like, situation where I go, that sucks that they won. I don't think they deserved it. I feel like all three are super deserving of winning in their own rights, which is really good to see in a final three, because it doesn't normally happen like that, because there's normally someone that's just been floating and they've got to that point because people want to sit beside them at the end.
I think what would be hard with Flick winning is that she would have to beat Haley or George. Like, if she was beating someone else, like, you know, not against Kara's game, but, like, if she went to the end against someone like Kara, who has been a social player as well, but then is up against Flick with that immense story and is doing it with her family, like, that's a beautiful win and would be a beautiful win anyway, but I think it will be tough to swallow if Flick's incredible story, and it is extreme value and merit to a win, as we've said, but if it is sitting at a jury and beating a game like Haley has played with some of those moves, with this final four, with the rock, paper, scissors idol, with the Joey vote, with a million different things, or if sitting against George and beats the final five move and the merge move and the Gerald move, like, that will be tough to swallow, even though her win on its own, I think we could really get behind that in the story and how beautiful that is, but it'll just be hard, I think, as fans to swallow that happening, and also just the fact that that is what Australian Survivor is, and that's not surprising that an Australian Survivor jury that's technically Braun versus Braun would vote in that way, and that the thing we hold most dear, which is some of the highest highs of strategy we've ever seen, could easily not be enough. And I think that as fans and, like, strategic fans, that might be a little bit tough to swallow. While I would still love Flick's win as a human and as her story for sure, I think that part would be, like, just to be reminded that, like, the values I hold dear in the game aren't as validated in something like Australian Survivor would be tough. But I still would, you know, think her win is amazing for other reasons.
100%. And I don't think anyone can, like, it's so tough out there on your own and away from family, but to have that happen is, like, I can't even fathom what she's gone through. But saying that, I don't think a backstory, and that sounds terrible, like I'm saying a backstory, like her mum has passed away, but I don't think anyone's backstory in Survivor should carry, like, we shouldn't be putting too much weight on it when we're out there playing Survivor.
I mean, I get it. Like, I actually do think it carries, because I think that it informs how she's played. Like, it's not even a backstory, like, it's a today story. Like, it's part of her day-to-day and her play. Yes. Like, I think it does matter. I just think...
Part of her circumstances.
Yes, like, it informs the kind of player she is and the way that she's played, but I just, like, it's just such impressive strategic. Like, Haley and George, like, if you look at the Jizzy charts, they are just miles ahead, you know? And, like, it's just been such a strategic miss from Flick that, again, like, if it could beat a game that's maybe not as strategic, I'd be like, great. But, like, to specifically come in and beat some of that innovative strategy, that would be a tough one for me. But I would still love the win on its own.
Yeah. And I think, too, going up against Haley, she can't pitch her physical game against Haley.
That's true, yeah.
But she can pitch it against George.
Mm. That would be interesting. George versus Flick, they're opposite players. They are, like, literally either side of the spectrum.
So she kind of... Against Haley has the strategic moves, but Flick feels like she's got the emotional connection to the jury. But I feel like she probably feels that she has that, well, she'll have that with George as well. I feel like if Flick wins, I feel like she would have to take George.
Yeah, hope, I hope so, because for her to lose by taking Haley and then, like, losing a 5-4 when she would have won, it would just complete a strategic voting record that, like, it just, yeah, we don't want to see it going to that place. I think that that would really finish off some, you know, some misses from a strategy perspective. You know, let's talk about the positive strategy. Should we get to the chizzy?
Yes, for sure.
All right, take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color.
1, 2, 3. It's getting kind of chizzy. 3, 2, 1.
All right, so this is a very special chizzy, as these are the last points I will give this season. Someone will win the raffle. Well, we're about to actually announce who's going to win the raffle live on air. I've got a random number generator ready to go, and they will take my points next week, and they can give it to anyone. They can give it to jurors, because obviously we're only left with 3 people, which makes it tough. They can give it to the weather. They can give it to production. They can denigrate the chizzy all they want, because they donated to the amazing cause of Flick's GoFundMe for dementia research and awareness. So that's what's happening. But okay, I'll give my points first so I can do the math on this. I'm going to give 3 points to George. The 3 and 2 were hard this week. As I said, toe-to-toe for these two strategic beasts in George and Haley, just with, you know, his final 5 move being incredible and her final 4 move being incredible. His move at the final 5 was perfect, incredible, amazing read. His decision at 4, I think, was completely optimal, as we've discussed. So much logic there. There's literally nothing I would change about the way that he played this week, so I have to give him 3 points. I'm going to give 2 points to Haley, who was also obviously exceptional. This might be a little controversial, but I think she lets a little more go at Final 5. She loses way there. Again, we're thinking it's probably more of an active choice. Kara did even tell her. But, you know, and she's making the decision to take a shot at Flick, which is her prerogative, and there's validity to that. But it was hard to split George and Haley. I just feel like Haley let a little more go by losing way. But I also think her move, I'm seeing 2 reactions to her move that I, like, just wanted to call out, because I disagree with both of them and they're opposite things, where, like, there was a Punky article that was like, viewers are amazed that Haley played George and Kara like puppets, and it, like, quoted my tweet. I was thinking, I don't feel that way. She didn't play George like a puppet. He played optimally. It was great. But then there's the other side, which is like, her move wasn't that good because George played optimally. And it's like, no, the move is convincing Kara. The move is turning them against each other. Like, yes, George plays with logic and he gets credit there. But, like, we're saying, like, the superpowers and the magic of convincing Kara makes her move just completely incredible. So 2 points, it was hard to do, but I just, yeah, they were both amazing. And I had to give 3 and 2. My 1 point, which is my last point I will give in this season, is going to be a point to Wei. It is a default point, the 2 sweetest words in the English language, because Kara, like, voted herself out, as we've said, and her read was wrong in the final 5 on the idol, and it was her 1 vote, and it was just her 1 approach that could have changed, like, kept her in the game. And I feel she was really snowed by Haley, so I can't give her a point. And then Flick, who's still there, was immune twice and, like, still didn't vote, right? I thought about it with Flick, like, at least she kept herself protected. I agreed with what she was doing at the final 4. Like, I thought it was really good. The best thing she did strategically all week, I think, was deciding to flip on Haley at that final 4 rather than going for George, which she'd been doing a lot. But even then, like, Haley does outplay her. She's up against it in, like, yes, like, the pure logic that Haley and George are playing with there. But, like, to have so little power when you're so protected, I just can't give her a point. So I'm giving a default point to Wei, and those are my points. Jackie, who are you giving points to?
I mean, we're down to only 5 players, really, so it's kind of – it's pretty easy to give the points, I think. I have to give 3 to George. I just feel like, even though you told me that Haley knew about the backup plan, I still feel like, you know, it just felt to me like, as a viewer watching it, she was unaware that that was happening. And, yeah, I feel like even though she made that play with 4, I still agree with you that George has played optimally both episodes. And, I mean, he couldn't play it any better, I don't think. And then 2 will go to Haley. The 1 point is really, really difficult because I can't really even think about who –
Yeah, the 1 was really hard. I literally gave a default point away, but yes.
I think it's terrible because, yeah, I agree. Like, Flick had opportunities to use her power more than she did, but I'm just going to give one to Flick just for winning that final immunity, because if she hadn't have done that, you know, possibly she does go home, and she knew how important it was and she dug deep and won it. So I'm going to give it to Flick.
All right. Well, that means that the Chiefy charts are interesting. So Haley is on 26 now. George is on 22. Simon was left on 10. Emmett left on 9. Flick has 6 now, and Wei ends up on 6. Kez left on 4. Danny and also left on 4, and Danny left on 3. Baden left on 2. Joey left on 2. Kara left on 1, and Gerald on 1 as well. So this is an interesting thing, because just doing quick math in my mind, Haley being on 26 points and George being on 22, next week with whoever wins the Chizzy points and Mike and Nick each giving 2 points each at our maximum, like, he could get 6 points and pass Haley. Haley would then need 3 points to pass him, which you'd think she would get. But if she, like, loses the challenge or basically comes third next week, she might not get all those points. And because we're denigrating the Chizzy, whoever wins might not give her a point. They might give a point to JLP or something. So she could get a point maybe from Nick and Mike, but not from whoever wins the Chizzy points, which would leave her and George tying. So it actually now has extreme importance of what's happening here. There's a lot of points up for grabs, and it's really close because we have this extra weekend where Haley, we thought, you know, was so far ahead, but now George has made it up in this week, and we don't even know who's giving my Chizzy points next week. So, well, if you get to a really interesting place, I kind of, do I regret selling my points and selling my soul? I don't know, but I didn't anticipate it having this much meaning, but it might. It might decide the winner. It might decide a Chizzy tie. Really interesting.
Imagine that.
Yes.
Imagine that. It's exciting.
Yeah, she's 4 points ahead of George, and there are 12 points up for grabs next week. So, yeah, let's see where it goes. And let's announce who won the raffle. This is so exciting. We sold 116 tickets. We raised $1,160 for the charity. Really, really proud of it. Thank you so much to everyone who donated and got behind the Celia idea for such a good cause. Okay, let's do it. I'm going to go to my random number generator. I've filled in 1 to 116. Let's do it. Number 92 has won. 92 is Laura. Laura from Twitter. I will let her know that she won. She gets my cheesy points. I don't know where she's going to go with it.
Use them wisely, Laura.
Congratulations to, I don't think it's the Laura from the show. I think it's Laura on Twitter. Number 92, she won. Very exciting stuff. We had people entering, like Nick entered. He wanted extra points next week. But he didn't get it. We got a lot of people entering. Thank you so much, guys, for everyone who donated. Laura is our winner. She will decide the important chizzy points for next week.
Big job.
Yes, exciting stuff. So Haley goes in the lead, but who knows how it will end. Much like the season itself, it's like a tight finish that's really interesting, and it's coming down to Haley and George still being in it. Like, what an exciting end.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I actually have a pickleball tournament on Sunday, and I'm, like, stressed that it's not going to finish in time.
Oh, that's so annoying for you. What time is the tournament?
I think it's, like, it starts at noon or something on Sunday. It's up in Brisbane, though, as well. I mean, we've got to drive back, so I'm like,
oh, my gosh. Get it on 10-play on your phone in the car.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same, especially the very last episode. You know, it's so dramatic and, you know, you want to see it on the big screen. But
yeah,
even still.
I was really concerned because it was meant to be on Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year, on Tuesday night. And I was, like, literally, like, stressed out the whole season about this, like, big, like, this big clash that I had, and then lockdown cancelled being able to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, and then they moved the finale. So I guess what it shows is never worry about things before they happen, because other things will happen that will change that problem. And now I'm totally free on Sunday night that I can watch it fine. So,
well, the opposite happened for me. We've got a big Queensland Survivor player reunion get together to watch it, and it was scheduled for Tuesday night, which I could do. And then now I can't attend because I'm up in Brisbane.
But that is enormously irritating.
Yeah. So I would have been able to catch up with everyone because obviously in Queensland we can still move around freely, and it would have been good to see everyone Gerald actually organised it, so it would have been good to meet people I haven't met as well, but yeah, unfortunate.
Wow, I'm so sorry. That is so annoying. Yeah, they really caught us off guard by changing the finale, but it's something that they did, and now we will watch on Sunday night. And at least we got to do this podcast, so that's fun and exciting.
That is true. It is true. And it was such a big week.
All right, well, JLP had some tweets. I've got a few here. He tweeted, "Tired of only seeing George pop up on your feed? Then let me introduce you to Dez and Troy. Together they destroy." Now, he's talking about his guns. There was a photo of him.
Okay. Yeah.
It was Father's Day, so a lot of people thought like dad joke possibly. I love this tweet for so many reasons. Firstly, what are we doing in JLP? Secondly, like calling out that it's only George in the marketing is like a very valid thing to call out.
Yeah.
So it's shady too. Evely's best tweet of the week. He says, "Will King George, all caps, of Bankstown, all caps, hold on to his throne tonight?" I think, like, we've been trying the whole season, why is everything capitalized? Now Bankstown is being capitalized. I just don't know where he was going with it.
No, I don't know. Maybe is something extra special happening in Bankstown at the moment, other than they're celebrating.
Other than, like, extreme COVID.
Yeah, yes.
Being, true. Like, an LGA of concern. I don't think they're allowed to celebrate anything.
No, I don't think they are either.
Yes. I mean, it's tricky in Bankstown right now. Like, at least, like, this is, like, a really positive thing for Bankstown that they can, like, all get behind George. And then he's lasted till the very end of the season while they go through, like, being in the hardest part of Sydney right now.
Yeah, I mean, where are Flick and Haley? Where do they reside?
Flick, I think, is WA.
They're pretty free. She can have a finale party.
Yeah, Flick can absolutely. I mean, Haley's not in an LGA of concern, but she's in Sydney.
Right.
So there's going to be some pretty sad finale viewing party happening. It's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah.
We got questions like, will there be a reunion? And I have to say, definitely not, because no one can move around or get anywhere. So unless they're going to zoom them all in, which I have not heard is happening, I don't believe there's a reunion.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
It is, like, unfortunate.
For the players especially.
Yeah. I mean, at least they got to air the season and film the season. Like, yeah, we're lucky. I mean, they did all quarantine and stuff. It's actually funny that I saw, like, the U.S., you know, the U.S. is 26 days now, and they're like, well, we had to quarantine, so it's 26 days. Like, these people did quarantine and also 48 days. Like, the amount of commitment that they have given to this is just unbelievable.
Totally.
JLP said, "I'm dying, George," all caps. "What just touched my nuts?" Now, what he's referring to.
Yeah.
Is when he was lying on the hammock and then, like, Kara came up and scared him and, like, hit him underneath the hammock. But I feel like out of context, like, that's an amazing out of context JLP tweet. "What just touched my nuts?"
It's funny. It's typical JLP though, really, isn't it? So it's a good one.
Yes. I mean, it's about balls or nuts, and that's, like, very much his vibe. He also said, "What's up with JLP and the Joey nod at Tribal tonight?" And then did, like, a "How you doing, Joey" gif.
Right.
I didn't actually pick up on that.
I didn't either.
JLP calling himself out is fun. JLP, the fact that when he refers to himself in third person, it's with the nickname JLP. I mean, what else could you do it? But wouldn't it be interesting if he's like, "What's up with Jonathan?" You'd be like, "Who's Jonathan?" Oh, right.
Yeah.
So kind of a light week for JLP this week, but, like, we made up for it on intense strategy, so I totally get it. We have questions. Sean Bryan asks, "Do you think Channel 10 pushing the finale back to Sunday is a sign of confidence that it's going to be incredible and can compete against The Voice finals and Block Room reveals?"
I mean, really, who watches those instead of Survivor?
A lot of people. So many people. So many people. It's been a concern for years.
For the Block reveals. I mean, no, I don't know. I mean, I think it does show a confidence. Like, I don't know what the viewing numbers are like on Sunday nights compared to a Tuesday night, and do they think that they'll still just get better numbers on a Sunday night? I'm not sure why they would do it.
I think Sunday night's a big night. Obviously, it is up against the Voice finale, block room reveals, which is still something I don't really know what it is, but it seems like it's important. And but I don't think they're backing necessarily the content. I mean, it's primed to be a great finale, but I don't think they're backing the content. Like, have the Channel 10 execs even watched the content? Like, have they cared to even, are they even watching Survivor? I think it's more that Survivor has done surprisingly well in the ratings this season. Yeah. I think they back the ratings that we've got against those big things. Yeah, on Sunday night to lead into the Masked Singer in a big way. I think that's where they're going with it. I mean, they did it last season too. That's why I was like a bit like, oh, wow, it's Tuesday night. Okay, good. Okay, cool, right? And then they changed it to Sunday again. I mean, All Stars did the same thing. They had the two episodes and then they did the one finale episode the next week. So maybe next time they should just decide that well in advance because it's clearly a pattern that they like. And I think Sunday night's just a big night to end like what's been a big show and the ratings have been really good. So that's great.
Yeah, I mean, the ratings have been great. And I think considering all the twists and turns and people have stuck with it, to have such a great finish is good.
Yeah, so hopefully it will be a good finale. Hopefully it beats The Block and The Voice combined. That's what we want. People tuning in, I don't think that's possible. I think that those are two really big, difficult competitors for Survivor. Survivor always has like the toughest, I feel, competition, like Married at First Sight, The Block, the Olympics. It's like it's up against it every time, which I guess does Channel 10 back it or just maybe just thinks let's put one of our lower shows on against like just like take the loss? I hope not. I hope Channel 10 just backs the ratings.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the way they've headed, we are getting a more diverse lot of viewers as well. I think it's going from strength to strength. I like it that they're backing it.
Okay. I mean, and again, we got to have this conversation. It all worked out. Timmy asked on Twitter, should politician be a worse profession to go into Survivor with than poker player? Is this finally worse than your profession?
Well, I think they both have connotations of just untrustworthiness, don't they? Both professions, like, you know.
Well, poker's less untrustworthy and more just like, oh, so you can play me. Whereas, like, politician is, like, actively untrustworthy.
Oh, I don't know, because poker players bluff all the time. So then they're like, if I'm standing there going, no, I'm voting with you, they're looking at me going, is she bluffing me? Is she lying? Like, because she's a poker player. That's what she does. And she'll have it looks like she's telling me the truth, but she's a poker player. I don't believe her. But I think the same thing probably with politicians as well. I don't think they're kind of on a par. George and I should have been on a season together. We could have played together. It would have been great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you would have had to be on what is basically a non-existent brains tribe. I would love that. I would love a Survivor theme that's something versus shady professions.
Yeah, I like it. Sign me up.
We'll get lawyers. We'll get poker players. We'll get politicians. What else? Really, we have to get a lot of politicians, probably.
I know we could, yeah. I don't want to be.
Yeah, that's true. Neither one of us want to say that. Neither one of us want to insult a whole field of people.
I just did that. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we're thinking things we don't want to say, but there are some politicians, some former players going into politics. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of scope there for the shady profession, the shady profession route. Tommy Guam asks, is George going to pull a Richard Hatch and just bow out of the final challenge? I think George is going to the final tribal either way.
Look, I think George is going to try in the final challenge.
Please God.
But I think he's going to realize, it's unlikely he's going to win it, but I don't think he's just going to give up. I think he'll reach his threshold of what he can do and then he'll bow out, but I don't think he'll bow out before that point.
I hope not. I mean, as we said, Flick could choose Haley. It's not something that's out of the realm of possibility. And also, just for what the jury are looking at, he's been caught out and not trying in challenges. If he doesn't try in this final challenge and the other two go for like 10 hours or something, it will be like jury suicide. Like, he needs to come into a final three tribal council, even if he hasn't won, bloody, in pain, on a stretcher, showing that he gave it every single thing.
Him final two because
because he would then be an easy beat. Like, then it would be 100%.
It would win him final two.
Yes, it would take him to final two because he'd be a complete goat. Like, the fact that this has been an issue for his game and we're saying even just sitting out of, like, meaningless reward challenges could have it. If he sits out of the final challenge, with two women that I think are going to go hard and are great physical competitors, like, that would look so bad. I truly need him to be carried in by JLP.
Yeah.
Like, in JLP's arms. Like, George didn't win, but by God, did he give it everything he had. Like, that's what I want him coming into Final Three, literally, like, clinging on to JLP. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't think he has a high pain threshold, though, so I'm not sure where that line is for him. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It will be interesting.
I hope he goes extremely hard in that challenge. Last question. Gyro on Twitter said, which 2-1-1 vote is the best one in Australian Survivor? I love that this is a question we can ask. 2018, 2019, or 2021? Do you have a preference for these epic votes? We have Shawnee going home in 2018. We have Luke causing tribal chaos and getting everyone to do exactly what he wanted to take out Abby in 2019. And we have Haley's epic play here.
I feel like we're going to give it to this one. It's just because Haley just... like, she kind of had two plans and they both came off. Like,
yeah. You know,
to flip two people, and she was managed to do both of them. I kind of like this one. Luke's was pretty good, though, too.
Luke's was amazing. I mean, Luke's was, like, such an individual move that he did completely himself. Yes. He was, like, whispering in ears and he got everyone to do what he wanted.
Yes.
He used, like, the power of surprise and just the chaos of tribal council, which was cool because you don't see a lot of live tribals. And he'd also sent Baden out, so he, like, used an advantage. I think the fact that this was happening with, like, Haley doing it, not being immune, she's working more with George. It's less individual because, as we're saying, there's logic from George. But, like, to not be immune and still do it and really have to risk that, and she could have, if she voted incorrectly, 2-1-1 herself out of the game. Luke doesn't have that fear because he's immune. You know, to switch Kara and George, to turn that power couple of the entire season that they've been with each other, that adds, like, a really cool element to it. Like, it was just so epic. The fact that the narrative element of Kara voting herself out is amazing, that they did lessen Flick's power even though she was immune. Like, there's so much here that I probably do have to give it to this one. Like, definitely not 2018, because, as we said, that was a bit of a false one because Shawnee just really didn't want to go to fire. So it was kind of a broken one. But I definitely think... Luke gives it a run. It was an incredible move. It was an incredible individual move, but there was a purity in this that didn't have any advantage. That didn't, you know, they weren't even immune in doing it. And it was just pure, incredible strategy about how brains can win out over brawn when the brawn has won the challenge. Just pure brains and number and logic and strategy from Haley and George can come through and win the day. Yeah. So I just think how poetic that is. Like, it might have to win.
Well, that's where my vote goes. But I have to say, the fact that we can discuss three of them for Australian Survivor is in itself.
It's my favorite thing about Australian Survivor. My favorite thing about the whole franchise is that we could even have that question be asked.
Yes.
What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Well, Jackie, that's all that I have. Thank you so much again for coming on and discussing the surprise week. But what a glorious surprise it was. At least it was a good surprise.
It totally was. And like I said, I'm just... congratulations to the last three that are there. Like, they are all deserving in their own right, and I cannot wait to watch on Sunday night.
Yes, even if it's going to have to be in the car on the way back. Yes, on your phone. But you'll find a way, I'm sure. And where can people find you, Jackie, to see anything you're tweeting about the season, following along with what you're doing on social media?
Oh, very good question. I think it's just under Jackstar Glazier, I think.
Okay.
I've been on there. I'm not a stalker on there. I do tweet occasionally. It's just, maybe I'm slightly bordering on stalkerish on there instead.
All right. Bit of a lurker. Well, people can follow you. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed and follow me at Shannon Gage for all the content. As I said, the exits are already out as their own separate podcast. And, like, clearly we talked about a lot of insights. They were both really good. Some really essential information. I'm really glad that I ended up doing both of them before this recap because, again, so many telling insights that we ended up talking about. So check those out. For Survivor South Africa, that's going on now. These two will finish in the same week, 4 days apart. The finales are days apart now. We had Adam Klein, US Survivor winner, on the recap last week. We have Verna, Survivor South Africa legend, next week, and exits happening with that as well. In the middle of that, I will be covering the number one ranked season of Survivor on RHAP, Heroes versus Villains, next week, which is actually slap bang in the middle of the two finales. So next week is a really busy week. And also for the finale, we do have Mike and Nick, as I said last week, who will be giving out chili points along with Laura, who won them in the raffle. So a lot going on. And then we're going to get to the deep dives. There is so much happening with these seasons. Thank you so much to everyone for following in along with the content. Again, a lot happening. And Jackie, thank you again so much for coming on to the podcast.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Okay, well, no exes, as I said, they're in a separate podcast. So I will see you next week. Until then, bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekel.
1 million rubles.
Tribes.
Scheibe trocknen.
Tribe.